This morning we conclude our five-week series on the creeds of the church. You remember we began this series back in June with the affirmation that as Presbyterian-flavored Christians, among the many different kinds of Christians, that our life and order together as a congregation and as a tradition, a stream among the many streams of Christian faith, we order our lives around three books, the Bible, of course, and what we call the Book of Order, which is sort of the way that we govern ourselves, and the Book of Confessions, a set of 12 documents that begin with the Apostles and Nicene Creeds, the ancient creeds, incorporate Reformation creeds from the 16th and 17th centuries, a number of modern creeds from the 20th century, including, as we studied last week, the brief statement of faith of the Presbyterian Church USA, the denomination in which we are a part. We've, I hope, been reminded and learned through this time that there are a number of central truths, principles upon which we base our faith, some of which are embraced by all Christian traditions, some are more specifically embraced in the Protestant and Reformed traditions, and some even more specifically of our Presbyterian tradition. And it might seem like there are an awful lot of words that are needed to say who we are and what we believe and what we feel called to do. And to be fair, that was true at times for Jesus as well. As, for example, he himself in the Gospel of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 and 6 and following, we find that Jesus takes a moment to use a lot of words to share about what it is we believe and how we are called to live in the world with one another and in love of God. But there were other times when Jesus really got to the heart of the matter, and it might be valuable for us to take that sort of 30,000-foot view once in a while as well. One of the great examples of that occurs in Luke's gospel. At the beginning of a story that's familiar to us, we forget sometimes that the parable of the Good Samaritan begins with these words. As I read today from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 28, listen to God's word for us today. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" And the lawyer answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to the lawyer, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord. For you alone are our rock and our redeemer. And let all God's people say, Amen. And so we find, as we gather in this circle of believers of every time and place, that we hear words that come from various contexts, various centuries, various places and cultures around the world, all wrestling with how do we live out our faith in authentic and effective ways in the world in which we find ourselves today. And so, as I said, we find ways in which we connect with all Christians of the great and universal Church of Jesus Christ, and ways in which we connect in more particular ways with others who follow in our specific tradition. I was reminded a bit about the power of these connections, of our connectionalism in the life of faith this week, in the story that many of you were probably celebrating as well, that 50 years ago this weekend, a little crew of Americans landed on the moon. Now, we all know that Neil Armstrong was the first to step off the ladder. One small step for man, he said, one giant leap for mankind. But the second guy off the ladder was Buzz Aldrin. Buzz was a Presbyterian elder at Webster Presbyterian Church outside of Houston, Texas. And Buzz decided that what would be meaningful for him in that historic moment would be to take with him in the lunar module a little bit of bread, and a little bit of wine that he could pour into a cup. so that he could serve himself communion. As he did so, he read from the Gospel of John, "I am the vine and you are the branches." It's a beautiful moment, though. There's a part of me that I can't help but wonder what it must have been like to have been at that session meeting at Webster Presbyterian Church. The last item on the agenda is that Elder Buzz Aldrin has requested permission to serve himself communion on the moon. Excuse me, Mr. Moderator, but ordinarily I think a pastor is supposed to preside at communion. Well, that's right, Bill, but as it turns out, there's not a pastor because he's going to be on the moon. Yes, but point of order, doesn't something in the Book of Order address this situation? Shouldn't we look up what our polity has to say? Well, that's a great idea, but it turns out that the Book of Order is strangely silent about the sacraments on celestial bodies other than the earth. So we're really kind of navigating in open water here. Jokes aside, Buzz says that he opened the container of bread. He poured out the juice. There was just enough gravity, it turns out, for the juice to pour out but kind of curl up in the cup. As he partook of the elements, he said how amazing it was for him as a person of faith that the very first liquid poured, the very first food eaten on the moon by human beings was a symbol of the body and blood of Christ. The first words that he spoke were the words of our Savior. He said, "In that moment, as I looked down at the planet, this shared planet of all humanity, I've never in my life," he said, "felt more deeply connected to my church and to the church, to the whole church." That's, in a way, part of what we're trying to reclaim in these confessions, this deep connection to our church and to the whole church, what it means for us that we are a part of this body of Christ. So while over these last 4 weeks we've heard a lot about the church in its various iterations and traditions, I thought this morning it might be interesting for us to reflect for a few moments together about what it would look like if the First Presbyterian Church of Fort Collins in 2019 wrote its own statement of faith, wrote its own confession. Now, if we were really going to engage in this exercise together, we would, of course, appoint a committee of an odd-numbered group of people so that there would be a majority at some point when we voted. And we would probably spend lots and lots of hours meeting around tables and having conversations, thoughtful, faithful conversations, time of prayer together, trying to cobble together language that could articulate who we are and what it is we're called to do in the world today. It turns out that this church, like most churches, has been engaged in those kinds of conversations for a long time. And so rather than do that work around this table this morning, which I thought might be a bit laborious, I gathered together some of the threads of things that are true about our church that have been said by our church over the years in order to see if we might at least get a rough draft of something that would look like our statement of faith. So what is it that we might take into account about this part of the body of Christ? We know that in 1872, a little group of founders of this town, of this community, gathered on the banks of the Poudre River with Sheldon Jackson, a famous church planter of his age, and they had a brief worship service together, and they began this congregation, the First Presbyterian Church, even before the city itself really was incorporated. And we know that for about 40 years, this church bumped around in various intersections on the east side of what is now Old Town, until finally in 1914, almost 50 years later, they set up shop right here at the corner of Myrtle and College as a congregation, as a sanctuary that was built there. And they made a commitment to be a downtown church, what then was really on the edge of downtown, right? It was just about all dirt road heading further south from here. And they lived and served faithfully here for several generations until in the late 1960s they realized that that sanctuary was no longer sustainable and they would need to build a new sanctuary. And while a lot of other churches downtown had moved out into what was then the suburbs, just a mile from here, if you can imagine, they recommitted themselves in 1971 to be a downtown church, to be the heart of the city with a heart for Christ. And so in the 1970s, they began what Charles Shepherdson, for whom our Shepherdson Hall is named, as he chaired the committee, he declared that this would be a bold new venture to build this beautiful sanctuary, not just for the sake of building a building, but as a tool for ministry that would affirm our commitment to be a downtown church. And so we've been here ever since and continue to recommit ourselves to being a downtown church. As a result, though, it also means that as a downtown church, we seek and strive to serve the widest possible community that we can invite into our part of the body of Christ. And that means that, hold on to your hats, we have Republicans and Democrats who worship together. We have liberals and conservatives who worship together. We have red and blue and purple and green people who worship together on Sunday morning. People who might not agree about just about anything else on social media or at the polls or around the Thanksgiving table, and yet they gather around this table with Thanksgiving because they recognize that our unity is not in any of those other things, as important and appropriate as they are. Our unity is in the one faith, one God, in Jesus Christ, one baptism, one hope together. And that sounds good, but boy, that's tough to work at that relationship, in relationship together. And so in the history of this congregation, there have been disagreements, sometimes fierce disagreements, around important issues about our faith. Several years ago, those disagreements led leaders in this church to decide that it was important to articulate not a particular stand necessarily on a particular issue, but a way of being together that would be a faithful, dramatic witness to the love of Jesus Christ and the grace of Christ present among us. They created what's called the behavioral covenant, in which, in part, they said that when we gather together, we will always, one, seek God's heart. What is God doing among us? What does God want, first and foremost? And then, secondly, we will seek to listen thoughtfully to one another, to really hear one another, to give one another the benefit of the doubt about the perspectives and experiences and positions that each other has. And then, having done that, we will speak collaboratively. We'll speak with one another in a way that builds one another up and seeks together to find a way forward, that seeks out more our commonalities than the things that divide us or that are different among us. Out of that grew an expression in a vision and mission statement, which says in part that we are a Christ-centered, open and welcoming church on the move. And then in our mission statement, we articulate that a little more fully, which we'll reaffirm together in just a few moments. But that also reminds us that this isn't just a community in which we look inward at one another, at our relationships and our faith. We are a community as a downtown church turned outward to see how we can serve the city around us. And in that way, we engage with a number of other partners, mission partners, here in Fort Collins. And I think it's worth taking a moment to remind ourselves what their mission is in which we have chosen to come alongside. The Matthews House, an organization that now has a community life center in our education building, says our mission is to empower youth and families by building trusting relationships and providing resources to disrupt cycles of poverty and abuse. The Family Center, La Familia, that also meets in our building, is a bilingual organization offering high-quality early childhood education and family-strengthening services. Our goal is to stabilize working families with children through supportive services such as childcare, parent enrichment, and after-school tutoring. Homeward Alliance, that works through the Murphy Center on the north side of town, operates a continuum of programs and initiatives that are not only an alliance of services, but an alliance of volunteers, donors, agency partners, so that we might together envision a community in which homelessness is rare, short-lived, and non-recurring. Speaking of homelessness, we partner both locally and globally with Habitat for Humanity. Seeking to put God's love into action, Habitat brings people together to build homes, communities, and hope. Next Sunday morning, we'll begin again a week of housing families through the Faith Family Hospitality, part of the Family Hospitality Network. Their mission is to support families experiencing homelessness to achieve sustainable self-sufficiency, an interfaith volunteer effort coordinating over 30 diverse Fort Collins faith communities. We provide the full range of emergency and stabilizing services needed for our guests, for their parents, for children to become self-sufficient. If you want to be a part of that, you can sign up to be a volunteer next week. And finally, just one more of the many partners, since we're commissioning to go to the Dominican Republic today, Plant with Purpose seeks to equip farming families around the world to increase farm yields, heal damaged ecosystems, improve nutrition, increase household savings and opportunities in an integrated approach to solve two major issues facing the world today, environmental degradation and rural poverty. All of these speak with the language of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. A reminder that we hear in the prophet Isaiah in the 61st chapter when he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me that I might bring good news to the poor, that I might bind up the brokenhearted, that I might proclaim release to the captives and freedom to the prisoners." And so this morning, as we think a little bit about where our church has been and is at, the kinds of issues that in partnership we work to serve alongside in our community, and look ahead to where we might be called in the future, I thought we might share a little exercise together of proclaiming some of the words of faith that we've incorporated through the years. We'll begin with a couple of words that actually come from our denomination's Book of Order. One of those dusty old documents that mostly sits on shelves, but actually, especially in its preamble, has some important words about what it means to be a part of God's mission, really our participation in God's mission. And as a way of doing this at least a little bit together, every time I say therefore, you'll say we believe, and that will kick off the next idea that we think through together. So, as believers, together with faithful of every time and space, and in thanksgiving for the love of a God who seeks for us abundant and eternal life, in gratitude for all that Christ has done for us, and in our response, we share together these words of faith and faithful living. Therefore, the good news of the gospel is that the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, creates, redeems, sustains, rules, and transforms all things and all people. By the power of the Spirit, this one living God is incarnate in Jesus Christ, who came to live in the world and die for the world, and to be raised again to new life. The gospel of Jesus Christ announces the nearness of God's kingdom, bringing good news to all who are impoverished, sight to all who are blind, freedom to all who are oppressed, and proclaiming the Lord's favor upon all creation. Therefore, that the mission of God in Christ gives shape and substance to the life and work of the church. In Christ, the church participates in God's mission for the transformation of God's beautiful creation and God's beautiful humanity by proclaiming to all people the good news of God's love, offering to all people the grace of God at font and table, and calling all people to discipleship in Jesus Christ. Therefore, that the First Presbyterian Church, founded in 1872, has reaffirmed and recommitted itself to be the heart of Christ in the heart of the city, seeking as well as it possibly and faithfully can to serve the whole city. Therefore, given the challenge of serving a broad community, a diverse community, we promise to seek God's heart, joining God in what God is already doing, believing that God's heart will lead us to love God more and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We promise to listen thoughtfully, seeking to understand before we strive to be understood, giving others the benefit of the doubt when we hear them, being curious, respectful, and always willing to learn something new. We promise to speak collaboratively, knowing that every word we say can either destroy or create, promising to use our words to collaborate with what Christ is doing among us. Therefore, in the words of the prophet Isaiah, that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoner, that we might build up and be repairers of the city. And in fulfillment of this calling, therefore, that we are called to make sure that homelessness, brokenness, and loneliness are rare, short-lived, and non-recurring. That we are called to equip and empower families with resources and relationships they need to experience abundant and eternal life that God desires for us all, healthy, hopeful, life-giving, joy-filled lives rooted in loving community of generosity and compassion. Therefore, as the Church of Jesus Christ in the heart of the city, we have confirmed that we are both called to maintain our Christ-centered focus and both nurture the spiritual and other needs and well-being of our congregation and continue on a path that is outwardly focused, spreading the love of Christ, creating a welcoming environment, and working in partnership to make a real impact addressing urgent community needs. Therefore, we are a Christ-centered, open and welcoming church on the move, joyfully serving the Lord and the world, reflecting God's infinite grace through sharing the life-transforming word and love of Christ, glorifying God through worship, through music and prayer, showing Christ's love through caring and empowering service within the community and beyond, growing a diverse and multi-generational congregation, and being loving caretakers of all of God's beautiful creation. Buzz Aldrin said that when he first approached his pastor and asked about a way that they might symbolize or express something that would meet the grandeur of that moment, landing on and walking upon the moon, he said they talked together for a few minutes and sought to find an expression that would say something about the reality that God comes down in human form, just like one of us, to be among us, to teach and heal us, to feed and lead us, and that in these common elements of juice or wine and bread, in these common elements we experience the extraordinary grace and love of Jesus Christ. My hope for us is that while we may seek to find words, perhaps even many words, to articulate who we are, who we are called to be, how we are called to live in the world around us, that ultimately and finally we will remember that the God of the universe, our sovereign God who created all things and all people, has called ordinary us to be vessels through which God shares the incredible grace and love of Jesus Christ, so that ultimately we might be empowered and a witness to what it means to love God with all of our strength and soul and mind and body, and truly to love our neighbors as ourselves. Thanks be to God. Amen.